And that's Uncle Joe, he's a moving kind of slow at the junction. It's the news. Come to me. Well, it is good to be back here. I will be here today and tomorrow for sure. Wednesday possibly. I'll be in Cincinnati Wednesday. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And then Thursday, if I have a show, it'll be late in the day. But Friday, yes, Friday, there will be a show again, hopefully. Hopefully this Friday show. I have had a whirlwind of activity going on the last 2 weeks. And it's finally kind of somewhat over. I've got major stressful time last week. that all ended yesterday with a good conclusion. Final conclusion was good, I should say. The outcome. I'm good for another year. So I have a little bit of, well, in fact, I kind of planned it this way. So I would do this training stuff, and then I was hoping to have off right after this and just be done for a month. Because I basically have, I got about 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks off after I do this little, I got a little quick little, I got to be gone for a couple of days, but it's a be gone Cincinnati thing. I probably will be in Little Rock as well. I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but basically 3 days, 3 quick days gone this week. And then I've got off until about the middle of next month. And I've got a lot to do, a lot to get done, a lot of plans that I have not set up anything for. I was hoping to kind of get some things ready to go so I could hit the ground running here on Friday, but that's not going to happen. I've got a few other things to get done and hopefully start some serious projects. I've got to get my boat in the water. I've got some other things to do. We're going to go camping if we could. We should take a little boat trip if we can after we put the boat in the water. And then after that, it'll slip back into kind of a normal schedule for the most of the summer, hopefully. I plan on doing some travel in the summer. So I have personal travel. A few things going on. I have, there's a job coming in right now, even as I speak. So we're rapidly entering into World War III. Now this is tensions have never been higher in the Middle East, in my opinion, not in my lifetime. It is a very difficult situation. And the news media, for the most part, has been ignoring the fact that Iran, this thing going on between Israel and Iran is going on. Now, I just heard I want to talk about this a little bit more. But first, we have to talk about the really important stuff, which is what is in my cup. I still have this weird chai stuff. The problem is, here's the problem. This stuff comes in a little packet, and I thought, well, this packet's not that big. It won't take me that long to get through it. But it's more highly concentrated. So it's going to last about twice as long. So there's actually twice as much there as what I would normally think there is. But it's not too bad. It's just not what I'm used to. And, change is never easy for human beings, most of us. So I got that stuff going on. But I got this – I don't even know what the name of the chai is. And then it's something different. And then I've got, of course, Almond Joy creamer in it. I just have to put a little more creamer in it to make it work. I probably could put some regular creamer in it with it, too, just to kind of keep it creamier. And then my backup cup here, I've got a little bottle of sweet tea. So it's just kind of a mixture of the tea, the Bellini tea, peach raspberry Bellini tea that you can get at Olive Garden. And also some other tea from Texas, sweet tea. Actual homemade tea from Texas. It's a locally owned restaurant that makes the tea. They actually make real tea. So I have this, have that kind of mixed in a, it's all mixed. It's a blend. I spent the last week, a little over a week in Texas, Dallas, in the Dallas area. And I have to say, that was stressful. That probably took about a year off my life. It is. And what's sad about it is that you get stressed out about it because you've had experiences in the past where it's been a bad experience, and then that stresses you out. And then you have a good experience, and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. Why did I get so stressed? Well, it's because there is such a thing as PTSD, and I'm pretty sure I've got it when it comes to this kind of thing, because I had a really, really bad experience one time in a training scenario. It's very similar to this. And It was bad. It was just my body was involuntarily shaking. It's first time I've ever experienced that, where I was actually shaking involuntarily. And I didn't understand what, you know, I had to go through this thing for several hours. And this was probably 5 years ago. And I still have issues dealing with that particular scenario. Now, fortunately, the people I dealt with in this training situation and everything was going on, they were extremely professional and competent and helpful. And no reason whatsoever to get nervous about it. Well, I mean, there's always those nerves, but it was no reason to freak out like I did. And it's, of course, that kind of helps the healing process, I think, in some ways, because it gives you a better experience. And the next time you're not so, I want to be on guard, but I don't want to be stupid crazy about it either. So, because your rest schedule is all off, you can't sleep when you're supposed to sleep, and you get kind of crash when you're not supposed to be sleeping, and your circadian rhythms are all off, it's all messed up, and then you go to perform, and you can't perform because you're not 100%, because you're not even 80%, because you're all screwed up in your rest. But anyway, that's over with. Done and over with for a year. I can relax, and today I plan on doing that. Even though I've got a bunch of stuff to catch up on, because the last couple of weeks have been gone so much. I had that had a trip where I was away for about 5 days, 4 days, 5 days. And then I ended up being in a Chicago convention. I got to meet Jonathan Kahn there, which was actually worthwhile. But I ended up being there for about 4 days, and then got home for 1 day, took off to Dallas. And then I'm home for today. I got home yesterday. And I got some home today, and then I leave tomorrow afternoon. I'll be back on Thursday. So, and then I'm off for a while. Anyway, that's my life. So that's not what my show is about. My show is the news according to me, not my schedule according to me. So we'll get into this, and I do have a couple of audio recordings I want to play for you. One is a son of the leader of Hamas. He hates Hamas. He has nothing but abhorrent things to say about them. He is he's totally, you know, the complete opposite of his father. And then another recording I have that I want to play. It is kind of a. Yeah, what should I call it? Let me pull it up here so I can take a look at it. It's Joe Rogan responding to the issues of what's going on in Israel and Hamas. And it's this guy talks about this. Not the comment that I, and I'll make a comment after I play this, but it is, in my opinion, it is. A very skewed perspective that the world has when it comes to the Israel-Palestinian, Hamas, West Bank, Gaza, Hezbollah conflicts that are going on around Israel. And even this thing with Iran. So I'll just get right into it. I'm going to jump right into it. This is... first of all, this is the Joe Rogan. There's an expert in military. He calls himself an expert. He looks like he's 20 years old. He's pretty knowledgeable. He has some comments about the whole Israeli conflict. Now, again, I've always made mention that the numbers do not make a bit of sense when it talks. You know, there was an estimate, and this is all estimates because you've got the. It's like saying how many people are in our military in the United States. Well, okay, the actual the people who are actually conscribed right now, whatever you call it, the people who are actually in the military formally, officially on the payroll of the military. Then you have the reserves, which are also on the payroll to some extent, but you've got reserve call ups. And then you've got the groups that are not military. You've got militia that consider themselves. Minutemen kind of thing that where they are training for the possibility of an invasion in this country, and they would be armed and ready to go, organized in whatever situation might happen. And then you've got just your average everyday Joe out there, whether he's ex-military or not, who considers themselves a defender of the nation. They would stand up with, you know, shoulder to shoulder with anybody to defend the nation if it was a direct attack. So, you know, how many are really in the military? Well, it's, you know, how many? So when it comes to fighting Hamas, when it comes to going into Gaza, do they have a formal paid military? I don't know how formal they are about that. That's never mentioned. It's just, well, there's an estimate of 40,000 Hamas soldiers. Okay, so those are full-time soldiers. You don't know. We don't get that kind of information. It's very skewed. It's very estimate. You get all these estimates all the time. And one of the things I think I mentioned this on the last show is, it's very telling when Israel strikes something and injured seven and I think killed two people that were, or maybe it was killed, maybe killed, but they killed a couple of reporters or a couple of aid workers over there. You know, of the thousands, at first they were saying they were killing 5,000 a day. 5,000 a day. Every time a bomb would go off, it was 1,000 people, 5,000 people a day. And this was every day. And within 2 weeks, it was 60,000 people had been killed. And now we keep hearing the estimate of 30,000 have been killed. That's a number that keeps dragging on. Well, if they're killing thousands of people a day, this thing's been going on for how long? We're talking last year. We're at least 3 months into this thing, at least. That's 90 days, 1,000 people a day. That's, you know, we're pushing 100,000 people. Or, you know, in the initial phases of this thing, they were saying it was 3,000 to 5,000 people a day. They're just throwing out the random numbers. And this is why I get so tired of this, because you can't trust this. The numbers coming out are just flat out lies. And it's very telling when you have one particular incident where they count up, where they actually talk about the seven people or those people aren't insignificant. I'm not saying that those lives are insignificant. What I'm saying is, why is all of a sudden we're talking about this one incident is in the news and everybody's talking about it when tens of thousands of people have been killed that were just numbers? Telling me nobody important was killed in any of the others, or there wasn't any, you know, all of a sudden we have pictures and evidence and witnesses to this thing, whereas the others, there wasn't numbers, nothing. Other than just, you know, somebody standing in a rubble, field of rubble. It seems like it's the same field of rubble every time, and they're always standing there with perfect lighting, and there's no dirt on their face. They're not in a bad situation. They're just standing there in the middle of the rubble crying or whatever they're doing. it's obviously a photo op. It's a staged event. And I'm sure that there are actual people dying there. I'm sure that there are. Now, this guy that went on Joe Rogan, he was talking about this, and it's interesting that they pointed out the way they do in terms of the numbers of Hamas soldiers and the numbers of civilians that have been killed, and then the numbers in conflict and what that means. But I'm seriously doubting the 30,000 number, because that number now has been holding for quite a while, because it's a reasonable, logical number, or they can hold that number out there without being, you know, where are these hundreds of thousands of bodies? I mean, Ukraine can certainly show you that, you know, there's mass graves going on there. There's you know, it's not good. Lots of people dying there on both sides. And it ebbs and flows. I mean, it'll go through periods where there's a lot of it and there's not so much. So this is the thing, and what gets me is that we're not getting any secure, real information. And if there are that number of people, then that's horrible. If there's even a smaller number, it's still horrible. The problem is we're not getting the truth. And of course, everybody in their armchairs here are trying to make decisions and be there, you know, be the deciding factor for everybody else, for the rest of the world, and what should happen there. And they're basing all their information on false misinformation and disinformation in many cases. That gets very frustrating for me. Because I can't trust the information coming out of Gaza. And I'm not sure I can trust the information coming out of Israel. However, I tend to be a little bit more, because there's free press there. There's much more free press there, I should say, than there is in Gaza. That's for sure. So we're going to play this. And just as interesting to what he has to say. Now, I loop this off of a short, so there's a little bit of repeat at the end, because it kind of gets cut off a little bit at the beginning, but you'll get the idea. But I think it's important to hear this guy out. Even if these numbers are true, his opinion of it and how, you know, so because Joe Rogan has called this a genocide. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about this whole genocide, you know, this word genocide and what is actually happening over there. There's a huge difference here between genocide stuff and things that aren't genocide. So
it's not 30,000 civilians. It's not 30,000 civilians that have been killed, though.
How many thousands have been killed?
So according to Gaza Health Ministry, run by Hamas, the number they have is 32,000, but they don't distinguish between Hamas and...
Now listen to clear carefully. He says the number is that it's been given to us is by the Gazan authorities. So this is coming from the... that's run by Hamas. He says it very clearly here. Do you think they're being honest when they shoot their own parking lot and call it a hospital where 500 people died that didn't die? It wasn't a hospital, and 500 people didn't die. And yet they're telling us that. So just keep this stuff in mind as you're listening.
The health ministry, which is run by Hamas, the number they have is 32,000. But they don't distinguish between Hamas and civilians.
How many members of Hamas are there?
40,000, something like that. I don't think the number is known, but it's tens of thousands. So Hamas says 32,000 people have been killed, civilians and soldiers. Israel says 13,000 soldiers have been killed by Israel. So let's not doubt either number. They could both be inflated. But if both of those numbers are accurate, which they may or may not be, that would be 13,000 soldiers killed, 19,000 civilians killed, which for urban combat in the Middle East is a very normal ratio. It's very distinct from genocide, because genocide is when you're trying to maximize civilian casualties. I think Israel, however imperfectly, is doing the opposite. They're trying to minimize civilian casualties.
So this is where it's important to realize this. And the numbers probably are not as, I bet they're even less in terms of, you know, what he's talking about, the normal conflict. But to call this a genocide, I think is way overblown. And the reason for that is if they wanted to wipe them out, they would just wipe them out. This would not be an issue whatsoever for them to just wipe them out. If that's what they were going for, they want to get rid of Hamas. And I just feel in my gut that Israel is not even, I bet the ratio isn't even 50%. He's saying that the ratio is, what is that? 13 to 30, that's 25, what is that, 25%, 30%. And I bet it's closer to 50% that they're, in other words, for every Hamas soldier that they kill, one civilian dies. I bet it's even less than that. Israel is saying they've killed 13,000 people, 13,000 Hamas soldiers, and how do you distinguish in some situations? And of course, when they're hiding behind civilians, that makes it even more difficult. And they're not exactly uniformed soldiers on a line. This is guerrilla warfare, really, in many ways on their side, which is highly successful in terms of that's what the rebels fought in this country against England basically did. They didn't line up like everybody else and have their battles out there on the field and watch a picnic and watch the battle going on. So the numbers are skewed. But even if the numbers, like you said, if the numbers are correct, Israel is still within a typical conflict that would not normally be called a genocide. Now, what I'm getting at with this. Now, think about this. Iran, okay, so Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran are attacking Israel. I think over 350 munitions were fired at Israel directly from Iran last week or the weekend. And all of a sudden, everybody says, Israel, you need to restrain yourself. Now, the success thing here that made Iran look weak, I guarantee you, if they would have had nuclear weapons, they would have just shot them off. The thing that makes them look weak is they sent all those, and about 99% of them were shot down. So Israel came out virtually unscathed in this massive attack. This massive attack was in retaliation for something that happened earlier, where Israel was going after some of the people who were the masterminds and there were some generals that were in charge of this whole thing with Hamas, the attack on October 7th. Now, having said all that, here's where it gets weird. Israel now wants to respond to the attack. Everyone's saying, restrain yourself, restrain yourself. You should need to exercise restraint. What is the definition of a genocide? It is when you want to eliminate a particular group of individuals because of their race, color, or creed. That would be considered a genocide, and that's my loose interpretation paraphrase of what a genocide is. Now, the Gazans want to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet. That would be considered a genocide, killing all the Jews. They don't want Jews anywhere. The river to the sea. And then there's even people in this country say there shouldn't be any here. There shouldn't be any white people or Jews in this country either. That's genocide. That's genocide. Then you have they want to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet, let alone just Israel. They don't belong there. They want to wipe them out. So that's their opinion. That's genocide. So they attack Israel with the purpose of killing any and all Jews. Israel retaliates, and they call them genocidal. How does this get mixed up in the mix of things? Iran literally wants Israel gone. But if they respond, they've been attacked now, indiscriminately, just cruise missiles, I think they were called drones. Who knows what kind of drones, how accurate they were. They're probably just random drone strikes. I don't know if they had any particular military targets. We don't know because they were all shot down, apparently. But they're told now by the world that they shouldn't respond. Oh, you shouldn't respond now. So, I guarantee you, somebody launched 350 missiles at the United States, it would be swift and strong. But we're telling them. Now, we don't want anything to escalate there. That'd be ridiculous. But it amazes me that these people sit back in their little self-righteous pompous attitudes, and they sit there, tell them what not to do. So that's where we are now with this whole situation. Now, here's the other side of this. I want to play this. This is the son of the leader of Hamas, who I think lives in Qatar, actually. Doesn't live in Gaza, strangely enough. So here he is talking about Hamas and how people seem to be supporting Hamas here in this country and how ridiculous they are. And he's talking about the pride, the LGBTQ. They put their Palestinian flag up next to their pride flag. This is what he's talking about.
It's a dark black hole.
Here's three of
them. To all those students, I say that it's very disappointing to see Americans supporting Hamas and thinking that Hamas is a cool thing.
Israel, go to hell!
While Hamas does not respect any of those followers, while those followers don't know that Hamas would torture them and massacre them with no mercy. They call them useful idiots. They don't know that Hamas is a dark black hole. To all those students, I say that it's very disappointing.
Yeah, these students are out there protesting, and they've got, I guess there was a protest recently where some people from the LGBTQ community stood up next to this Palestinian demonstration, pro-Palestine. And they were going to stand with them in solidarity. And the pro-Palestinian folks ripped everything down and shoved them out. Didn't want them there at all. This is representative. There was a couple that went back when this whole thing with ISIS was going on. We were at war with ISIS. And this one very, very stronghold area where ISIS was kind of the center of their caliphate. This couple decides they're going to go on a biking trip across this little country just to prove that people are just people and we need to all get along. So they were taking selfies of themselves as they were riding along this little trek across this little country in their bikes. They were stopped. They were killed. She was raped and murdered. They were able to retrieve parts of their bodies back. Sometimes reality is just what it is. And this guy is speaking the truth. The term that he used, useful idiots, comes right out of Rules for Radicals, which was a book written for what we're seeing. That's their playbook. That's their Bible. These people. The radical leftists and the unfortunately, it's the people who don't have to get down in the trenches. They provide the bricks. They provide the water bottles, the frozen water bottles. They'll come in the night before a demonstration. Before they bust these people in, they'll come in and put pallets of bricks everywhere. So this was happening after the George Floyd thing. Just pallets of bricks would show up, but even when there wasn't any construction around. Frozen bottles of water, and they were kept in coolers everywhere, all over the place. It's amazing that this happens. So, one other thing I'd like to talk about. Joy Reid, I don't have this recording. I heard it this morning, but I didn't get it recorded. Joy Reid this morning, maybe it's in my history. It's probably worth pulling up if I can find it. It's not there. I have not pulled that up yet. That would explain why it's not there. Huh. Well, we'll have to find that. The Joy Reid was making this comment about, and I think it was Michael Knowles that was actually responding to it, how her ancestors, when your ancestors are here and they've been under so much oppression and all this blah, 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 what goes on. talking about all this stuff. Well, here's the problem, Joy. Here's the problem we have with hearing you talk about this stuff. Your parents immigrated here from Congo. They weren't slaves here in this country. And then she talks about how her ancestors literally and physically built everything in this country. Everything. Literally. When people make these kinds of statements, my first response and reaction to it is you are completely ignorant of history. You cannot do math. You are simply repeating a talking point from a false ideology that has not grounded or rooted in any kind of truth whatsoever. And the reason I say that is because at the time of this nation's forming and founding and everything that was going on and with the whole slave issue, less than 6% of this country was minorities. I should say African American. And you're telling me that they are the ones that built this entire country, literally and physically. If anyone you hear, whether it is people of Irish descent, European descent of some kind, whatever it is, if they say, my ancestors built this entire country, tell them to go gargle some concrete. Because the fascinating, amazing reality of the history of this country is that it has been a melting pot, and that no particular race, no particular people group can take credit for the success of this nation. In fact, the success of this nation has been formed around an ideology, that of individual rights, not that of, and yes, even when it was founded, when it was put into on paper, the founders knew that slavery was going to go away because of what they were writing. And yes, some of them were slave owners. That's a big deal for some people. So we're supposed to abolish the ideology because they were slave owners. That nothing good could come out of their mouths because they made up like what was it, 15% of the founding fathers owned slaves. So that makes the whole nation needs to just be abolished. That's just asinine. I think it was Candace Owens recently was come under fire because she said there were some things that Hitler did that were good. Things that some Republicans would agree to. A lot of things that the Democrats would agree to. But some things Republicans would even agree to that he did. That they probably tried to do as well. You see, it's not that there's... Just because a person is doing something evil doesn't make everything that comes out of their mouth evil. Well, Hitler told his children to brush their teeth. So if you tell your children to brush your teeth, then you're just like Hitler. This is how ridiculous we get with this kind of thing. We villainize someone to the point. I guarantee you, if you wear, what's the little mustache that he had? I don't, there's a name for it. Can't even think of it right now. If you wear a mustache like that, all of a sudden you're Hitler. It used to just be a style. Now, ironically enough, Joy Reid has hair very similar to Trump's. I don't get that. I don't understand that. But she comes out and makes this kind of a statement, and she never had ancestors herself who were here during that time. And she makes probably a couple million dollars a year, at least. She's not up there in the, you know, Rachel Maddow numbers, $100,000 an episode. Or I guess that's $100,000 a day, I guess. She's not even doing five episodes a week now. And it's just absolutely asinine. And it's, they make these statements because they're coming from a talking point from an ideology that they have to keep perpetuating. It's based on no facts. It's based on hate, and it's based on a anti-racial racism, I call it. ARR. R. It's the parts. Coming to get us. So we have this stuff going on, and it's just, again, it is absolutely frustrating, disgusting, and in my opinion, just whenever you hear anybody talking about that kind of thing and they make those kinds of statements, you can pretty much just lock the door, say, okay, you're a Marxist, because that's where this is coming directly from, the Marxist ideology stuff, the people who are the self-avowed Marxists of the BLM crowd. The leaders of BLM, now they've taken it off their website now, strangely enough, used to very clearly say that they were self-made or whatever, they were, they're Marxist. Now, I gotta tell you about this. This was an interesting conversation I had. I was sitting down at a table waiting for the van from the hotel to go to the airport yesterday morning. Interestingly enough, there were two churches meeting in this hotel. They had two conference rooms. And normally when churches meet in conference halls and hotels, when they rent a facility, it's usually a fairly new church. And it's usually typically they don't have a building yet. They're trying to save money, so they use a hotel room or something. So they're meeting in a hotel room to have their church meetings. Both of the rooms were pretty much packed. Now the one room wasn't all that big. It was maybe a small. They probably had 100 people in there. The other one had a little bit more than that. Both of them playing serious worship music. We're not just talking. They were getting into it, and it was serious worship music. Now, in this particular area, happened to be. I know the one church was definitely more of a, how do I say this, African American, black culture style church, but they were worshiping, folks. They were digging down deep into what was going on. It was awesome. I could hear them pretty well. The other side I couldn't hear as well. They were doing more elevation worship and that kind of stuff. Their elevation music and some of that kind of stuff, which was, I love that stuff. And they're getting into it as well. And I mean, I could have walked into both services. I'm like, why aren't you guys just meeting together? What's the differences here? Other than, you know, I'm sure they have some differences in family stuff going on. But the point is, I have seen this. The more hotels I stay in, especially over the weekends, I see this more often. There are new churches popping up everywhere, and there's something happening, I think, that's not being, of course, reported in the country. Now, while I'm sitting there, about 5 minutes before the van leaves, maybe 10 minutes, this fellow walks over to me. And, of course, I have my bags with me and stuff, and I was obviously waiting on the van to go to the airport. And this guy walks up to me, real very tall guy, about 10 years younger than me. He thought he was older than me. I don't tend to look very old, typically, but it's... He walks over to me and says, hey, you probably know this. He goes, you know how far the airport is from here? I said, well, it's about 12 miles, I think. It's got to be between 10 and 15 miles. And of course, now the airport itself is about 5 miles in diameter. So Dallas is a huge airport. Even you basically have a four-lane highway that goes into the airport. And we got chatting a little bit. And I was about 51 years old, black guy. Super polite, very respectful, got into a very good conversation. He said he stayed at another hotel the night before. He's a truck driver. And he was stopping for this something, for some kind of a thing, some kind of training. He was going to be there for this company he works for. And he was, the company's putting him up in this hotel. He said the night before he was staying in his, he took care of himself, but he was about 20 miles away in another hotel. And he ended up being in this kind of like a hotel, Motel 6 kind of place with, it said on one room, the room beside him, they were selling drugs. In the other room, they were selling all kinds of, he said it was just all, just, it was just a terrible hotel. Just the whole situation was bad. He was very concerned about his rig being parked in this area. He said he didn't even, he said he slept with his clothes on. He just basically put his bag under his head, used that as a pillow, slept there in the room because he thought he was going to, any minute he was going to get, just jump up and run out of the door. Just didn't sleep very well, to put it plainly. We had a very good conversation. Obviously, he was obviously a believer. I can tell when a person uses certain language. He was just obviously a believer, and so we kind of chatted a little bit about that. Well, then right away he said, you know, under Trump, he goes, I was doing so much better. So I felt like I had a chance. So I just feel like everything's being pulled out from under me right now. It just broke my heart. And I think what so much of what he said to me, I won't get into all the details, but so much of what he said to me just seems to be representative. Just like this deal where Trump walks into a Chick-fil-A, which I have been to that Chick-fil-A where he was at, and it is predominantly black area. I've been in there at times where I was the only white guy. And I think it was one of the first, I think if it's not the first original Chick-fil-A, it's got to be one of the first. And he walks in there and buys, I think he bought at least 30 meals for people with ice cream and everything. He's just a generous guy. I mean, and it is true that you can give out of your abundance, but even giving out of your abundance is better than not giving at all. Look at how much. See, Democrats, they don't give their own money. The Democrats, they want the government to give you money. They want other people to give you money. I think Joe Biden's or Barack Obama in 2008, they looked at his charitable giving, $800. Some ridiculously low amount of money. And I think Joe Biden was the same way. I think his actual charitable donation status or charitable donation money that he gave, I think was it 2016, whenever it was. They were looking at his stuff, and it was some ridiculously low amount of money. It was less than $2,000. Now, I'm not trying to judge someone on that. I'm just saying they claim to be so compassionate in giving. If you look at the statistics, conservatives give about three times more.
Well, that's because they have white privilege and they're all...
No, that's not it at all. It's not about race. Because across the board in every demographic, conservatives give much higher percentage to charitable organizations than any other group, political group, period. And I'm not saying the Republican Party, the RNC, does not give money away. I'm not saying that at all. The people who hold this ideology, I'm not saying that makes them better. I'm just saying, when it comes to being compassionate and caring about people, put your money where your mouth is.
Well, there's the other poor people, and the poor people don't have money to give.
No, don't tell me that. I see you spending $300 for a pair of tennis shoes. And you claim that they can't afford to have an ID to go vote. Again, that same, you know, bottle of cement, you can go gargle that again, because that's just, it's ridiculous. It's all lies, talking points, and when you go out and actually ask the people, they have a totally different attitude towards it. So, folks, having said all I can say, I will conclude this show. Tomorrow morning there will be another show. There's always another show, possibly tomorrow morning. It's always that possibility that another show will pop up. Thank you for listening today. I do need to get going here in a little bit, but I do appreciate everybody listening. And of course, this should be an interesting week with everything that's going on with Iran and everything that's happening. More than interesting, it'll be a traumatic week for some people. But I do want to thank you for listening. And we'll just keep an eye on what's going on. And I'll have some more information about the Trump cases, the lawsuits that are going on. Interesting stuff that's been happening behind the scenes with these with the Trump cases. And I've been trying to keep informed of what's going to happen there, but I haven't been able to really it takes some focus to kind of weed out the important parts of the minutia. So we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow morning. Folks, God bless. Pray for each other. Pray for the nation and pray for our leaders especially, but pray for the peace of Israel. Shabbat. Shalom.